Oh, goody, Halloween!
I know, Ainsley. Do you think Jeff and Brian will let us go trick-or-treating this year?
Maybe, but we have so much work to do for Jeff's going away party. There's Jeff's bath, and you know how he is about the salts. And if we don't get Brian's eggnog just right...
Shh! What is it? Did you forget the nacho cheese?
I've got it.
Ow.
Hi, boys.
Mr. Ricky.
Today is October 31st, 2018, and this is episode number 486 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and for Halloween, I am going to be Brother Azure. It's full story. Anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, including giving Jeff a very, very fond farewell, you can join us over at facebook.com/groups/context machine.
Yeah, this is my last context machine.
It is, which is why we're doing a Halloween special.
You know, I'm really glad that I get to wrap up with a Halloween special.
Yeah, for sure. And I can't wait to find out what happens next.
Oh, me too. I bet it's going to be really exciting because, you know, okay. Halloween.
Because Halloween, exactly. Can I spill my plans for Halloween? Just like a real quick thing here.
I would be disappointed if you didn't.
I didn't do it last week, did I? I don't think I did.
No, you didn't.
Okay, right. So I found this great monk's robe and cowl on the Amazon. And I found a cape, a cloak on the Amazon. And I found a wizard staff. Of course. Yes, a wizard staff. Fine. I got a wizard staff off of eBay. This glorious 6 foot tall, just beautiful red staff. It's great. And I got some costume boots. I got leather belt. I got a couple of crosses, and I'm going to be Brother Azure, sitting there just waiting for the kids. All menacing, just sitting on my porch waiting. And I will say lovely things like "Cave abt ortum ortua sunt," which is of course, you know, is, yeah, it's Latin for "beware the dead is rising," you know, because that's what you do. And then my calligraphy buddy got himself a monk costume, and he's going to be there too, just waiting. And he's going to do some like fancy writing for like kids' names and parents' names, so parents that are with their kids.
That's cool.
And got all the spider webbing. I'm going to have fun.
That's really cool. I can't wait to see photos, and then after people really freak out, video on the nightly news.
I'm hoping to give some kids something fun to remember.
That is fantastic.
If I can get a couple of kids talking about that one cool house with the fat guy, I'll be stoked.
That's really cool.
Yeah, thanks.
If I was out there, I would come by just to check it out.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. It's a lovely thought. Well, that's tonight, right?
That's tonight. I know.
Right.
Very exciting.
Very, very, very exciting. All right. So yesterday on Tuesday, Apple did that media event thing.
They did. And they announced, I'm going to go ahead and say quite a bit because.
Really? Four products.
Yeah, but
five products.
But when
four products.
When one of those products gets updated, like once every 5 years.
that does not somehow turn into a bonus. That does not make it more. That does not make it more, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, then they announced a couple things. Yeah.
So we had MacBook Air.
Mm-hmm.
And
we had MacBook Air. We had a Mac Mini.
Yeah, Mac Mini, right?
And then we had iPad.
After only 1,475 days.
I know.
They're already updating it.
can I say, with all the updates that they put into the Mac Mini, I think they're set to go another 5 years.
Oh, no. 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 Make that not true.
I wish I could. And yet here we are.
And yet here we are. Yeah. Yeah.
But we did get a new iPad Pro and a new Apple Pencil to go with it.
Yes, Apple Pencil, right? New Apple Pencil. That looks actually pretty nifty. Mm-hmm. So it's four products, right?
Yeah. Do you want to consider the new Keyboard Smart Cover Folio a new product as well?
I'm calling Apple Pencil a new product. I guess I should. I mean, it's more of an accessory, whereas Apple Pencil is more of a tool.
Yeah, it is a very different version of the Smart Keyboard Cover than we've had before, because this fully covers the iPad and gives you multiple positions that you can put your iPad, or like two angles for the iPad, and your iPad can sit in a portrait or landscape mode when you're typing. So it's a big change for the keyboard.
It is a big change for the keyboard. And, you know, what did they say? I put 127 magnets inside the...
Yeah, it was something like that. It was
something like that.
Yeah, it was a bunch.
Make it just fit.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Let's talk about the iPads first. We'll do that for our first segment.
Okay, sure. Sounds good. And I guess we should give people a quick rundown of the specs.
Yep.
So
why not? Right, we're here.
Yeah, so no home button like we expected.
Yep.
Thinner bezels, but it's not edge to edge like Apple says.
Apple says it's edge to edge, but they're wrong.
Well, it goes from the edge to the edge of the bezel.
Right. But there is a bezel. So it's not edge to edge.
No, it's not. And I would have a problem with it if it did go edge to edge, because you would then be touching in the sensor area while you're just trying to hold your iPad. And I could see where that would be a problem.
Yeah, that was always my big concern about the idea of going edgeless.
Yeah,
with iPad Pro, it's like I've watched the way I hold my iPad, and my thumbs are definitely on that edge when I'm holding it, at least a lot of the times. So yeah, that was always, like I said, that was always a concern of mine.
Yep. So I'm glad it does still have a bezel. No home button means that now we've moved on to Face ID on the iPad Pro. Yep.
So all the gestures too that originally came with iPhone 10.
Right. And as I noted when iOS 12 came out, that to me was the biggest indicator we were about to get an iPad Pro with Face ID instead of Touch ID, because all the gestures matched up finally.
Yeah, finally, right.
And then, let's see. So Face ID works in portrait and landscape mode. That's good, and I think necessary. Yep. And let's see. So we have new speakers.
Yeah, new speakers, tweeters, and woofers in each one.
Mm-hmm. So
it's supposed to sound great, but, you know, we'll see about that.
We'll see. November 7th, I suppose, because that's when these are available. No headphone jack and no lightning port. Instead, there is a single USB-C port.
Oh, right. Hold on a second. I need to go turn on my oven to warm up my crow pie. Because I got to eat a big helping of crow pie, because
iPad Pro is now USB-C, just like Ming-Chi Kuo said. Uh-huh. And I said, poop. I said the poop on that. I say I pooped all over that idea.
You did. It was pretty unsanitary. But and yeah,
now I got to clean it up because I got this wrong.
Yeah. And my part is because I feel bad that you were so certain about Ming-Chi Kuo being wrong, and now here you are having to heat up that crow pie.
Yeah, well, I don't like it cold. If I'm going to eat the crow pie, it should be warm.
Yeah, apple pie, you can do that warm or cold. Crow pie, not so much.
Yes, I actually prefer apple pie cold.
Interesting.
I prefer most of my pastries cold.
Hmm.
Or at least not hot.
I wonder what that says about you.
I don't know. It says something. Like the hot donut, it's just gross. It's like sits in your stomach, just all like hot and a big lump of fried dough.
See, this is one of the reasons why it doesn't bother me that I don't get to eat stuff like this, because the description that you're giving me does not make donuts sound appetizing.
Yeah, most people love hot donuts, man.
I did.
They love hot donuts. Like, oh my God, hot donuts are great. Like you know, Krispy Kreme does their thing where they've got the hot sign.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you can get the fresh donuts. So just from, it's like, do you have any that are cold? I don't want your hot donuts. Get those away from
you.
Me.
Like, what is your problem?
Yeah. Yes.
I did have a dairy-free donut at Voodoo, and because there's a Voodoo in Denver now.
Yep.
And it was shaped sort of like a voodoo doll, and it had a filling in it. And I ate about half of it, and I think it was just basically straight sugar. I was actually shaking and had to stop eating the thing.
This is what I call Tuesday. Also, mm-hmm. also, this rabbit hole is so deep, we may actually find the interns.
Where are they anyhow?
I have no idea, man.
Oh man,
yeah. No idea. They better have my room clean. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, they're supposed to be taking care of some celebration stuff for me, so that better. Yeah,
I know, right? And eggnog, I know they're doing up some eggnog, and let me tell you, if that ain't right, there's going to be hell to pay.
Oh, I know. I've seen it happen before.
Not pretty.
So anyhow, I checked the Apple Store after the event was over, because the Apple Store was back online, because I was wondering, does Apple expect people are going to do just wireless for headphones from this point forward? Or yep. Do we have to go into the hot mess that's USB headphones? Because that is really just a disaster right now.
Yep. Yep.
And the answer is no, we don't, because Apple already has the USB-C to 3.5 millimeter headphone jack on the Apple Store. It's $9.
You know, I think that if they're going to take away they're going to take away the headphone jack, and they're going to make us switch over to Lightning headphones, which I embraced fully, mm-hmm. that they bloody well should have a frickin' Lightning port on there, so you don't have to use a dongle for wired headphones.
I think they shouldn't have taken the headphone jack off at all, because they're positioning this as a pro machine, and pro users, especially if they're doing video stuff, they do not want to have to deal with latency at all. So you don't want to use wireless headphones. And I think the implication is Apple expects you to use wireless headphones with the new iPad.
Yes, yes. That's actually the thing right there.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're going to use your AirPods and you're going to like them.
Yeah. And I do have a problem with that. But overall, I am pleased with what this new iPad is. And I'm still rocking my first generation iPad, and I'm ready to upgrade to this one.
You mean iPad Pro, of course.
iPad Pro, yes.
Yeah. I too am on first generation iPad Pro, you know, because apparently we're living the life of animals. And I skipped the one last year.
Definitely going to get one of the 11 inches. And that's the beautiful thing. Same footprint now, 11 inch screen. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. Like it a lot.
Yeah.
And they're still selling the iPad Mini 4.
Oh my God.
Which, by the way, Ming-Chi Kuo said we were going to get a new iPad Mini.
So that means you get to have some ice cream with your crow pie.
I do. I get some crow pie a la mode.
I cannot believe that they're still selling the iPad Mini 4. I mean, when they said at the end, and here's our new iPads. Oh, and you can still get the 10.5-inch iPad Pro. And
that's last year's.
Yeah, last year's. And you can get the iPad Mini 4. And I was waiting for the needle to drag across the record at that point.
Yeah.
I was totally shocked.
They just shouldn't even mention that. It's such an embarrassment.
I agree.
Such an embarrassment that thing is for sale. I mean, you know, 1,475 days for the iPad, for the Mac Mini. So, you know, it's not quite that embarrassing. But it's not far off either, is it?
No, it's not that far off. Yeah. I'm sure some people are looking at the new iPad Pro announcements and thinking, what's Apple thinking? This is total crap because it's not exactly the device they want. I'm looking at it and thinking, all right, I've been using my 12.9-inch iPad Pro as a production machine for 3 years now. Mm-hmm. It's not my primary production machine, but it does a crazy amount of stuff, and I've been very happy with it as a production machine. So when I see what you can do with the new one, I'm thinking, all right, it's time for me to upgrade because this isn't just a big screen movie watching device for me. This is a machine where I'm creating content. So it's a nice upgrade for me. And yes, I'll be getting the new Apple Pencil. I did some research before the show, which is great, you know, because we had all the time since yesterday till today to do such a thing.
Yeah, right, right.
And for those
because we're not recording this on Tuesday so that I can mix it in time for Halloween.
Right, that's just crazy talk.
Yeah, exactly.
So for those of you that are wondering about Apple Pencil compatibility, you cannot use the old Apple Pencil with the new iPad Pro, nor can you use
at all.
No, there's no way. There's no way to pair it.
Wow!
And you can't use the new Apple Pencil with the old iPad Pro,
huh?
Because it doesn't have the chip for the auto pairing.
Did you write that up yesterday? Tuesday, I'm referring.
Yeah, I believe the story is there.
Okay, excellent. Glad to hear that.
Yeah. Also, the story about the headphone jack adapter, and there's a USB-C to SD card adapter that's out as well. So
right.
That piece is live, too.
All right, so the Pencil looks fantastic, the new ability to double tap it to make it do stuff. Mm-hmm. That's great. That'll pair, but it's like W is using that, too, the same double tap. No, you can. So yeah, Apple is using the double tap to switch between palettes, right?
It depends on the app.
Oh, okay.
It's
what was Apple using the double tap for? Apple demonstrated the double tap.
Yeah, they showed it doing different things in different apps. So it was like switching palettes. It switched a brush at one point,
All that's great. That's all like really cool stuff. I think the coolest thing, though, is the fact that it'll magnetically stick to the edge of the new iPad Pro.
That is pretty nice. And I just realized Michael Johnston has to eat crow because he spent a lot of time explaining why you can't do inductive charging on the Apple Pencil. And
yes, that aspect is freaking great, too. It really solves that ridiculous thing about having your iPad, your Apple Pencil sticking out of the end of your iPad, which was just like the most idiotic thing ever.
Yeah, it was horrible. Absolutely horrible. And even in my own office where I could set my iPad off to the side somewhere and I was completely away from it, I was still worried every time I charged my Pencil that I was going to end up breaking it. So,
yeah.
Moving to inductive charging makes me very happy.
Yes. Yes, that's very, very slick. So yeah, a new Apple Pencil I called a winner. The new Folio keyboardy thingy called that a winner. The iPad Pro itself I call it a winner. The we haven't mentioned the A12X Bionic processor, which right. seems it like it's really super nifty. Thing.
Yeah,
has all the stuff that was in the A12, but more. 10, what'd they say? 10 million transistors?
Something like that. And it was like 10 trillion processing actions. It was crazy. Yeah, USB-C port. There was talk about it doing video out before the event. And sure enough,
10 billion transistors.
10 billion. Okay.
10 billion transistors.
That video out does 5K.
Oh, that's great. That's cool. And you can charge your iPhone.
Right. USB-C to lightning cable. You can charge your iPhone.
You can charge your iPhone. Not vice versa. Currently.
Right.
Actually, not at all.
No, you can't charge your iPad from your iPhone.
So we've got, this is what we've got. We've got the original 9.7-inch iPad Pro turned into the 10.5-inch iPad Pro turned into the 11-inch iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. All roughly the same footprint. That's great. Mm-hmm. The 12.9-inch iPad Pro stays 12.9 inches, but it now has like a lot less of a footprint.
Right.
And it's roughly the same size as a 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper,
which is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I'm very pleased with the size, the weight. This is a very portable, very powerful machine.
Yeah. And the graphic capability seemed to be impressive. It's an 8-core processor and 7-core GPU that's inside that thing. The home button's gone. It's USB-C, which I personally wasn't hungering for it at all, but will be eating my crow pie about. We did not get a new Mac, iPad Mini, Ming-Chi Kuo.
No, we did not get a new iPad Mini. We did not get a new iMac, but we did get a new MacBook Air and a new Mac Mini.
Yeah, that's true. He got those right.
Yeah,
you got.
How do you feel about the Mac Mini?
Well, that's second. That's our second.
Am I jumping ahead of what you want to talk about?
No, we just have the thing we're going to do in between the thing. So we have to stop the thing so that we can do the thing, and then we come back, and then we talk about Max.
Oh, right.
It's like, weren't you at rehearsal yesterday? We did the thing with
We had a rehearsal?
Yes! We recorded stuff.
Wait, what show is this?
This is Apple Context Machine. This is your last one.
Oh, my
God. Your last one. You're moving on. No, Chuck Joyner is the other guy.
Oh, Mac Voices. That's right. Okay.
Right.
Hi, Brian. It's great to be here today.
Doom, bum, bum, bum. And that's this week's. Right. iPad Pro stuff. Big fan. I want one. Absolutely. I'm going to get the 11-inch. Pretty stoked about it.
Yeah, and I want to get the 12.9-inch with an Apple Pencil and the Folio cover.
Yes. What does it start at? What's the 11-inch start at?
$799.
Oh, that's right. It's only $799. I was kind of expecting to see the price bump up.
Yeah, well, you don't want the $799 one because it's only 64 gig.
Right. I would. Yeah, what size would you get? Are you going to get a 12.9, I'm assuming.
I'm going to get a 12.9.
And you're not going to also get an 11, are you?
No, just a 12.9.
Okay.
And my feeling is because of the things that you can do with this, that 512 should be the minimum that you go with for storage.
Yeah, you say that.
Okay, no, I let could me probably rephrase get... that. 512 is the minimum I should go with.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be a little bit different on that. Like, you know, anyone who's working with a lot of video or with, you know, the demo we got for Photoshop on iPad was really, really terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So someone who's working with a lot of really large photographs, which the new iPad Pro can do. And video. Yeah, either one. Video or big photos is probably going to want to get a terabyte at $1,549.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
Right. And the 512 gig model that you consider to be your personal minimum is $350 more at $1,149.
Mm-hmm.
And the 256 gig model is $949, so $150 more.
Now, and we're talking prices for Wi-Fi only, not Wi-Fi plus LTE.
Oh, you are correct. So if you – that's $150 more.
Yeah.
To get the cellular connectivity. And I have very much enjoyed having cellular connectivity on my 9.7-inch iPad Pro, which was my first my first cellular iPad.
And I've been fine just tethering to my iPhone for every iPad I've owned. So I don't feel a need to go LTE.
You know, I hear you there. I absolutely and positively hear you there. Part of why I like it, Jeff, is because I've got T-Mobile on my iPad while my iPhone is AT&T. So if I'm in an area where one isn't particularly great, the other one usually is at least workable.
Interesting. I think if I were to do that, I would put since I'm AT&T for my iPhone, I would put my iPad on Verizon so that it would be completely different signals.
Yeah, but then you got Verizon.
Yeah, I know. But see, for and me, like, it's all hypothetical like all the telecoms, because I'm not going to do it.
That's a fair – okay, it's a fair point. So there you have it, iPad Pros. I think Jeff and I are both big, huge fans. I'll definitely get the Apple Pencil, and I'll probably use it at least as much as I used the last one.
Yeah. I will get the new Apple Pencil, and I will use it at least as much as the last one.
I wonder how it's going to work – with cases other than the portfolio, portfolio case.
Your case will have to have a cutout on the side where an Apple Pencil clicks on.
Or its own magnets.
Yeah, well, then you've just killed your inductive charging.
Excellent point. Unless you could do some – so I wonder how that'll work. Wonder what case makers are going
to
do.
I think I just figured it out. They're going to have a cutout on the side where an Apple Pencil goes. Now, I guess some of them would have
a piece that sits in really thin.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
You might be able to go really – it's possible that thin enough will work.
Yeah, you'd want it to be pretty thin because you don't want to be knocking the pencil off. I could see where some cases could have a plug that's on the case – so that if you don't have an Apple Pencil, you don't carry one with you very often, you can have it totally covered. And then pop that out if you're going to have a pencil, and then it just...
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's check back in with our adventurers.
Okay.
No, that really is where babies come from. Shouldn't you be asking... Wait, how old are you two anyway? Hello? Boys? Where did they go? Ainsley? Sierra?
At last, the founder comes.
Who are you?
I am the voice from the deep that drives this podcast.
Uh-huh.
I am the conscience of the Apple context machine.
What? That's ridiculous. You're nothing but this cloudy, amorphous, billowing mass of smoke and vapors. You can't...
Silence! You are the last piece. The final puzzle form I have waited for. With you in my clutches, I shall steer Jeff and Brian into the arms of... Android. No.
That seems pretty far.
Stop. I've been waiting for you for years. Come back, Ricky.
Okay. Well, let's see here. That was something. I'm really curious as to where it's going to go.
Yep.
Despite the fact that we recorded it yesterday. Wait,
what show is this again?
It's Wibbly Wobbly Timey Wimey.
You really, Chuck, don't sound like yourself today. You sound like Brian.
Yeah, it's because I am Brian.
Oh, right.
Last week. Thank God. I mean, I'm going to totally miss you, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you still hear? All right. What do you want to talk about now?
Well, we're going to talk about new MacBook Airs and the new Mac Mini.
Okay. Well, I asked you earlier, what do you think of the new Mac Mini? And you're like, dude, talk to the hand.
Yeah, but now it's time to talk about that. So I'm cool, bro.
You're so fickle. All right. So what do you think of the new Mac Mini?
Insert my usual rant about 1475 freaking days since the last update. Mm-hmm. It's just mind-boggling. Just mind-boggling that Apple would dare sell that previous model. Just mind-boggling. Mind-boggling.
I'm with you. Absolutely with you.
All right. So new one, though. New one is pretty nifty. It's got the T2 chip. Mm-hmm. It's got a better processor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually looking for
more RAM.
It's got more RAM. Yeah, it starts at 8 now, goes up to 64. That's great.
Yep, you can get more storage in it than you could before.
I found the article. Let's talk about RAM and storage.
Okay.
All right. So the base model for the Mac Mini starts off at $799. That's with 8 gigs of RAM, which I would call not enough. Mm-hmm. And with a 3.66 gigahertz 4-core 8th generation i3 processor. No turbo mode.
Okay.
For $300 more, you can get a 6-core, 3.2 gigahertz, 8th generation Core i7 with a turbo boost mode up to 4.6 gigahertz.
Mm-hmm.
That's $300 more. That's $300 more, by the way. That's why Apple's going to be ditching Intel processors next year.
Yeah, I think next year really begins the transition to Apple's custom processors for Macs.
Yeah, I think so. All right, so now let's talk about RAM. RAM starts at 8 gigs. That's that $799 introductory model.
Mm-hmm.
For $200 more, you can get 16 gigs. Seems really expensive to me. For $600 more, you can get 32 gigs. And for $1,400, you can get 64 gigs of RAM.
Now, one thing I was trying to figure out yesterday.
$1,400. Go ahead.
When I was going through all the configurations and specs and stuff for the new Mac Mini, I couldn't find any place that explicitly said that the RAM is user upgradable.
I don't.
And I'm guessing it's not.
I'd be surprised if it was. Apple.
Yeah, I know.
Apple doesn't do user upgradable anymore.
I know. And It's
which means that you need to make the you need to pay Apple's extortionate prices for RAM out the gate because you can't update it. Well, actually, we don't know. We could actually be wrong on that.
We could be wrong. Here's my take on this computer. I looked at the specs and I looked at the design, everything, and I'm like, okay, this is nice. This is actually really nice. If it had come out 2 years ago.
Well, I would put that slightly differently. I would say that Apple should have, you know, over the course of the last 5 years, should have introduced, you know, four more versions of the Mac Mini going all along, and that this should not be the first Mac Mini with the four-core processor. The four-core processor that's in it, it's fine. And you couldn't have had it 2 years ago because they didn't have it. Until
the Core A3?
Not the A, not this particular one.
Oh, no, not this particular one. But my point being, with the specs that this computer has, I would have been a lot more enthusiastic about it 2 years ago. With whatever the Core i3 processor, Core i5 processor, whatever they would have put in it at that point, I would have...
They couldn't have done the T2 processor last year either.
Doesn't matter. That this computer...
Yeah, it does. You're saying you want these specs 2 years ago. Not all these specs existed 2 years ago. Well, pedantic or accurate.
What I'm talking about is how much RAM you have, how much storage you have, what processor and processor speed you have, that sort of stuff. The T2, that's new. We couldn't have had that. The USB-C Thunderbolt 3 stuff, we couldn't have had that because we didn't have that stuff yet.
I accept your apology.
But what I'm saying is with the general specs that this device has, I would have been happy had it come out 2 years ago, not today.
Yeah, okay, I don't think that's fair, though. I don't think it's fair because it has plenty of things that didn't exist 2 years ago.
Apple doesn't get fair on this one because we're talking about a computer that hasn't been updated for, what, 5 years? I'm not
getting a break. Okay, but it's fun. Let's, like, okay.
For today.
I'm slightly apoplectic here at the notion of thinking that this computer should have existed 2 years ago when it has things that didn't exist 2 years ago. That doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, okay, whatevs. Let's go with that.
Okay, so 2 years ago, they could have released a Core i5 computer with a minimum of 8 gigs of RAM going up to 32 gigs of RAM. It could have had USB 3 on it. It could have had whatever the graphics processor was. It could have had the SSD. It could have had all that kind of stuff. Yes, I know. We couldn't have USB-C. We couldn't have had Thunderbolt 3, and we couldn't have had the T2 chip. Those parts I'm not talking about. I'm talking about when you look at the overall machine and the specs it has and compare it to what Apple could have made 2 years ago, they should have released an iMac Mini, or excuse me, a Mac Mini 2 years ago with these same general specs. And I would have been happy to see that machine come out. But seeing what I consider to be, generally speaking, 2 year ago specs on a computer coming out today, and at the price points it's at, especially without user upgradable components, I'm just not feeling the love for this Mac Mini.
Huh. All right. Fair enough in most ways. I'm not feeling the love on the prices. So back to random $1,400 for 64 gigs of RAM seems like, I mean, like, seriously, at this point, I should be paying $200. Like, what is...
What is up with Apple's RAM? I mean, are they doing something with the design and manufacturing that drives the price up, or is it just kind of a they just charge what they can because they can?
Yeah, and I'm sure it's some top of the line RAM. I'm looking at various things here just on Newegg. 600, 700. Here's one for 1,000. 500. Yeah, so no, Apple is no doubt using some top of the line high end RAM, but $1,400 seems crazy. And Now we can talk about the SSDs. So the 799 model comes with 128 gigs of storage for $200 more. Yes,
Yeah. So base model, 8 gigs of RAM, 128 gigs of storage. And Apple made a point to let us know that they thought that pros were going to like this machine. That is not a pro configuration.
The starting it off. Yeah, that's certainly not a pro configuration. Can you check and see if 12.1 is out?
It is.
I mean, I know it came out on Tuesday and all.
Yeah. 12.1 came out. It came out like if we were recording this on Tuesday, the timing would have matched up that 12.1 came out while we were recording.
Well, you know, you say that. I don't see it.
Yeah. Well, I remember seeing the announcement come out from Apple.
Yes, but is it actually out? That's the question.
Yeah. Well,
is it actually out on your device right now as we speak?
I have 12.1 on my device, but here's the thing.
Oh, right.
I'm running developer beta.
Yeah. All right. So $200 will get you 256 gigs of SSD.
Mm-hmm.
$400 will get you a half terabyte. $800 will get you a terabyte, and $1,600 will get you 2 terabytes. And again, that feels like highway robbery.
I agree. The upgrade costs for custom configuration are kind of crazy.
Yeah, and Apple may be doing something special with the SSD there, but that just seems like highway robbery.
I agree.
On the T2 side, having the T2 chip in there is great. Means that everything that goes, all the data that goes onto your hard drive is being encrypted automatically on the fly.
Uh-huh.
That's good. That's great. It also handles HEVC conversions.
Right.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, I think you got that right.
HEVC video transcoding is what I should have said. So, you know, that stuff is nifty. It's too bad you can't get a keyboard with the thing, the thumb thing for Touch ID.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, when they were announcing the whole T2 chip thing, what I was hoping they were going to say is, and we now have our new version of our keyboard that you can get probably as an accessory that has Touch ID built in.
Yeah, the Pro keyboard.
Yeah, but nope.
But no. With, a touch bar, LOL.
Yeah.
But no.
No.
Right. So it's got 4 Thunderbolt 3 ports. It's got an HDMI 2.0 port. 2 USB-A ports, an audio jack, which I find curious, and 10 gigabit Ethernet.
Yeah, so that's cool. And headphone jack. If we're not getting it on the iPad Pro, which actually I think is more powerful than the Mac Mini.
Probably is.
Why headphone jack on the Mac Mini?
That is a good question. Really surprised to see a headphone jack on that.
I was surprised as well.
Really, really surprised to see a headphone jack. All right. So how about the MacBook Air?
I think the MacBook Air I'm glad they started with the MacBook Air, because if it had come after the iPad Pro, I would have been like, why are you even showing me this? I think the MacBook Air is a really nice option for someone that's looking for an ultralight computer device where it has to be running macOS. If macOS isn't a requirement, then I'd say take that same money and go buy an iPad Pro instead. Because I think your money would be better spent, but I like what they're doing with the Air. Although I'm wondering if they went with a lower power processor because of thermal issues or cost issues. Because it seems like even though the computer is overall more powerful than the MacBook Air it replaces, it also feels weird to see a lower number processor going in compared to the one it replaces.
You mean lower speed?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Lower speed.
Yeah, 1.6 gigahertz is i5 is where it starts.
Right. But I'm glad it has Thunderbolt 3.
Yep.
Two ports and I'd of course love to see more ports. I get why there's only two on a MacBook Air, because we're talking about a machine that actually made it even thinner and lighter and
yeah, one port's ridiculous, two ports is probably fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And Apple has been pushing the MacBook Air as a device that you connect stuff to wirelessly, like almost from the beginning. So I'm not surprised to see it with the two ports, but I'm really glad it's Thunderbolt 3.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is good. I definitely want one. I want the Retina display. I like the MacBook Air form factor. I've been waiting for a MacBook Air with Retina display to replace my 2011 MacBook Air.
Yeah, I totally get it. It's and I get why this would be the right ultralight upgrade for you, where the iPad Pro is the right ultralight upgrade for me.
Yes, because my mobile computing needs are almost exclusively consumption, which the iPad Pro is fantastic at, and writing, where I think that keyboard and mouse.
Hello? Did I lose you?
I don't know.
I did for a little bit.
What was the last thing you heard me say?
Keyboard and.
Right. So I said keyboard and mouse is still superior.
Okay.
Pick it up from there, and I will edit everything out.
So you'll have to say that again, because I have you saying keyboard and then it kind of goes meh. And you're gone.
Frick me, man. I'm not recording. Are you recording for both of us?
I'm recording for both of us.
I just, in my head, I had this plan here that I was recording for me, and that I would, you know, just mix this in with, yeah. All right. So, for me, a mobile computing device, I know that you're a lot more image focused, though you do words too, but I'm almost exclusively word focused, mm-hmm. text focused, making, and I think that keyboard and mouse, or keyboard and trackpad in this case, is still far superior than touch for writing, especially writing long form.
Yeah, and I'm okay with doing my writing on the iPad Pro with the smart keyboard. I get why you would want a mouse, because breaking the plane to touch, to do like move a cursor around, to insert text, stuff like that. Yeah, I get that, and I can get away with doing a lot of that with the arrow keys that are on the keyboard, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I get why you would want to have a mouse as well. So MacBook Air for you.
Yeah. MacBook Air for me. Definitely want one of those. And I definitely want that new iPad Pro 11 inch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two devices I'm going to have to get.
Yeah. And I'm lucky, I suppose, in that, while they were showing the MacBook Air, I'm like, oh man, this will be a very nice upgrade from my 2011 MacBook Air.
Dude, you have on that MacBook Pro, man.
I know. I'm not saying I would get it. I'm just saying, oh yeah, this would be a nice upgrade from my old MacBook Air. And then when they showed the iPad Pro, I thought, I have a hard time justifying the iPad or MacBook Air to anyone unless they need Mac OS. So I'm glad they're making both, because now you can buy two products and I can buy only one.
Fair enough. What am I at? $17.99 for the one I just configured. There are very, very few options for this, but that's a 13-inch, which is my preferred form factor, with 16 gigs of RAM and a 512 gig internal drive, which for my portable needs is just fine.
Yeah, that sounds like a reasonable setup for what you need to do. I approve of your configuration.
I think my my 2011 has a 256 gig drive in it.
I think it's a 128.
I think it's 250. I'm using like half of what I've got in that one. Whereas, you know, my iMac, I definitely wish I had at least a terabyte. I really need two, but, you know, I'm stuck with 512 because you have to pull apart. Okay, anyway. Yeah. So, MacBook Air, solid upgrade. You know, brings all the things that we'd want, that we probably wanted for a while. And the MacBook Air form factor finally brings it to that form factor. Mac Mini bringing some long overdue updates. The options that are there are solid. It's definitely a lot more expensive than a PC by a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it stopped being that second computer for PC buyers. It stopped being the entry point, the easy entry point that it was.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's you know what? We already have some listener feedback for this very episode. Yeah. Despite the fact that we haven't even finished recording it yet.
Well, you see, we actually do handle time in a nonlinear fashion. This is one of the cool things about having a TARDIS handy. So tell me about the reader or listener feedback that we've gotten for a show we haven't actually done yet.
I've got to find what John Keep said.
Oh, of course. Hi, John.
Yeah. Hi, John. He said, so I predict that Brian and Jeff liked everything. And though the entire and thought the entire show was great and thought Angela's performance was great and needed valuable information, their only letdown will be no AirPods and AirPower. That's my prediction. That's what John Keats said.
Oh, well, I wasn't surprised at no AirPods or AirPower. I was not expecting those.
Nope. And
I would have been very surprised to see.
I was hopeful for AirPods. I was not expecting AirPower. I was hopeful, not for any particular reason. It's because I want them.
Yeah, well, no, I get that. Sure. Yeah, I wasn't expecting any of those. And John nailed it. Boy, did I wax poetic about the MacBook Air and the Mac Mini or what?
Yeah, and we both just couldn't stop about Angela Arendt's presentation. She's not a very good performer presenter, by the way. She always seems super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And there were some dynamite presenters in this.
My favorite presenter was the woman from Adobe that did the Photoshop demo.
She was great. Sean, what's Sean's last name?
I don't remember.
She did the presentation on what was she presenting on? She did a great job. And then the guy who was doing, I think Andrew called him the iMac Pro guy. John is John something another. He was fantastic too.
Yeah. Yes. And you know, when you're writing articles while an event is happening, it's just so hard to keep track of the names.
This is true. So to John's point, Angela Arendt did not present well.
It felt like a lot of people were having trouble.
Yes. And some people were great. Yeah. And to John's lack of point, while her presentation wasn't that great, the Today at Apple stuff has been an important development for the Apple retail stores and has been wildly successful. And the information about that was just fine.
I thought the information was appropriate considering the venue and the products being announced.
Yeah, what was up with the crowd, by the way? They were cheering at everything.
The crowd thing was weird because I'm sitting there watching that and they're doing all this applause and I'm thinking,
recycled aluminum, woo! Like they're just hooting and hollering over the recycled aluminum on the MacBook Air.
Yeah, that's supposed to be a room full of journalists who are there to have firsthand information about new product announcements. Now, if that had been at, say, Macworld, when that was a thing, and you have a room full of fans and some journalists, I would totally expect to have all the crazy or even applause.
Even WWDC.
Or WWDC, sure.
They had students from the college there.
Oh yeah, they probably did. And then I'm sure they also did exactly what you do for an event like this, or for like a live show where you want to make sure that you're getting the right reactions at the right places. You put seeds in the audience. So they know when they're supposed to laugh or clap.
Yes,
and this and then it triggers true. The reaction in everyone else.
Yeah, but the cheers we were getting were kind of like bizarrely exuberant.
Yeah, so I bet you're right. I bet they had a bunch of students in there.
And mind you, Apple journalists at Apple media events have always clapped.
Yeah, I know, and it's so easy to get wrapped up in the hype. I mean, especially when Steve Jobs was presenting. He just had that way of drawing everyone in. And when you're there in person, turning it into an emotional experience for you. So,
yeah. Fair point.
It seemed weird.
It was kind of weird. All right. So listen, let's take one more trip to see what our adventurers are up to.
Oh, okay. Sounds great.
Who's that?
Whoa, who's that? Where are the interns?
Didn't you send them down to get the door?
Guys, open up!
Mr. Ricky!
Oh, Mr. Ricky! Open the door!
On it!
Ricky, man, dude!
Hey, Ricky! Oh, it is so great to see you!
Yeah, come on in, man! This is the studio! You remember this place, right?
I do. It's weird to be back. Good to see you guys.
Indeed. It's really great that you're here. We didn't even paint because we thought it'd make you feel more comfortable.
Yes. Or clean up.
You.
But the interns are supposed to clean up, but we haven't really seen them.
It's lovely.
That's good. Listen, it's so nice of you to join us here for this. This isn't the last episode of the Apple Context Machine. Per se, but it is certainly the end of an era. Yeah, surprise, Jeff. But it is the end of an era as Jeff is moving on.
Wow. So what a coincidence that I'm here
today. Yes, exactly, because this all began with you.
It's really cool what you guys have been doing, and it's been, let's see. How long has it been? It's been 13 years.
Since you started the show? You started the show 13 years ago?
I think we started the show in 2005.
And that was before podcasts were a thing. No, we didn't start the show. You started the show, brother. Let's give credit where it's due.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it was all you.
No, it started on TMO. So the... yeah, I think at the time it was like, so I didn't know what podcasting was.
Because it didn't exist. Think
anybody knew it. Dave and John started doing Mac Geek Gab, and I thought that sounds like fun.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They did start before you did.
And I would like to talk into a microphone too and send it out into the ether where no one might ever listen to it.
As one does.
And
pitched me on a show where you basically sort of recapped the week's news. And it was a scripted show. It's actually probably really closer to something like Ken Ray is doing today. Would you agree with that, Jeff?
Yeah.
Because everything was scripted. In the first couple of episodes you did, Dricky, you
you did the whole thing like as a cool cat over the sounds of the cool bass.
Well, you know, with Ricky's voice, he could read anything and people will listen.
It's true.
It was a high concept.
Why did you stop doing that? I enjoyed that. I remember a conversation. I don't remember what we said, but I remember talking to you and asking why you wanted to change that.
I don't remember it being a conscious decision. I think it was more that, like, you're in a room by yourself and talking into a microphone about stuff. And there's like as it became clear what kind of stuff I wanted to talk about, then it was like I think I just got more excited about it. And I got more comfortable in front of a microphone, and so it became a little bit looser and a little louder. But there was
you changed the format from, you know, like you almost like you weren't scatting, but you were, you know, like sort of riffing over the bass, and like the bass would come in and out of what you were saying, and it was all very like, you know, 1950s smoky jazz lounge somewhere.
Yeah, it was kind of like I was reading the news with a scotch.
See, that's why I liked the show. And when you wanted me to come on, I was like, oh, sure. Because of the scotch. That's why.
So how many shows did you do where you were guesting on Ricky's show?
Okay, so that was kind of funny how that played out. Because, you know, Ricky contacted me and said, hey, so we I want to try this thing where we do a sort of an analysis opinion thing in the middle of the show. And so would you do the first one with me and we'll try it out? And I did it, and I thought that I was horrible. And yet then the next week, Ricky's like, do you want to do it again? And so I did it again. And I think it was like on the third or fourth week is when you sprung it on me that I was just now your co-host.
Surprise.
Yeah.
No, it was – it would have been sometime in, I think, early 2005 that we started doing it. And so this was, you know, a year and a half. I was still doing the show when the iPhone was announced. And so we, at the time, my biggest recollection of like the motivation behind it was there was all this Apple news, but I felt like most of it was just like around the internet, right? But it was either poorly informed or it was fanboyism. And my sense was that my read was Apple is this company that's executing at an amazingly high level. Like they're just one decision after the other, bang, bang, bang. That period between the release of the iPod and the release of the iPad, that kind of 10-year stretch was, you know, it's not that they didn't release anything bad, like, you know, the hi-fi. It's just that they didn't do none of their bad decisions were things that put the company in a bad position, and all the things that mattered were good decisions. And so I was watching
like Antennagate was during that phase.
No, Antennagate was later.
Antennagate was after iPad? I don't think so.
No, it was between the iPhone and iPad. So it was right, but again, if you look at what happened to sales, right? They handled it in an effective way. I think it's not, again, that they didn't make any mistakes. It's just if you look at like how the company was executing and operating, I don't know of a story in business that was more effective than that 10-year span. And so the thing that I got really excited to talk about as we kind of got into the show was like what is the context? That was that kind of opinion section in the middle was, let's put some context around this. Let's actually look, you know, whatever the news was this week, what is the actual impact? Where is this coming from? Why was this decision made? Was it a good one or a bad one? That was the thing that I got really excited about. And so talking to Jeff about it, you know, having people on the show to talk through that with and to kind of make some sense of it, that was what ended up being really fun for me.
And it was fun.
It was fun.
That was the first podcast I ever did. Weekly Roundup.
That's right. Yeah,
it was called So the original name of this show was the Apple Weekly Roundup. So why did you stop?
Yeah. Well, so in 2005, I also moved to North Carolina to do my PhD in physics. And that turned out to require some focused attention.
Really? That's really strange.
So it was around the time that I was doing my prelims which was also around the time that the iPhone was released. And so I think it was actually right around the time that the iPhone started shipping that I sent you guys. I should go back and dig it out of my email. I think I sent you guys like a manifesto. I was like, I got to step away from this show. I remember writing a very, very long email.
I remember that, and I was very distraught because I have been your biggest fan for a long time.
Well, it was a joy to do, and I love what you guys have done with the place.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, so we kept the format. So when Jeff asked me to join him as co-host after you left, because we had the decision at that point of whether or not to let the show die or whether or not to continue it. And Jeff ended up asking me to co-host with him. Right, Jeff?
Right. And that seems to have worked out up until now.
up until now. And we kept...
For a measly 10 years.
The last format that you were using, we kept for a while. And that was a scripted news delivery that included a lot more scripted jokes and then eventually actual skits, and followed by a section where we digested where we went deeper into the context of like just a couple of the things that were talked about at the beginning.
Yeah, but then we realized with the way we were going back and forth with stuff that what we really needed to do was ditch the news and just do that analysis part.
Well, it was also too, we were so bad at getting the show recorded. I think we did the first, I think like the first 6 months of shows was put together over the course of 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, well, you know, we had to get our pace.
Right. And eliminating the scripted part of it made it theoretically was going to make it go faster. And then we eventually got our crap together and were able to record every week.
So now I'm remembering when I was doing it, I had this like all these hacked together automator scripts it was like the Millennium Falcon. Like it was, everything had to be just right in order for the scripts to run properly. Uh-huh. But when the idea was when I was reading an article, it was basically like Pocket, but specifically for grabbing content to pull together on, you know, Friday afternoon when I was supposed to be writing the script. And so I'd be reading a thing and then I could grab the article with these scripts and it would dump it into some folder and try and pull out the text, which worked like half the time. And then I could go from there, it would kind of assemble the script in raw form. And then I could go in and just start deleting stuff from the news that we'd written over the course of the week. I say we, Jeff had written all of it, of course, over the course of the week. And that was kind of how I jammed the script together by deleting, you know, several articles worth of stuff down to, you know, 5 minutes of talking. I'd forgotten that. That was how I learned to use Automator.
But it was really cool. Because every week when it was time for us to start recording, you'd send me over a script. And I'm like, God, that's so cool that you're automating this. I was impressed.
Well, that's because you didn't see how frequently it failed.
That's okay. I didn't need to see the sausage being made.
That's right.
All I needed to see was that beautiful brat that you handed me at the end.
Exactly, and you got to chow down on that brat.
Om nom nom.
So we did one of my favorite things. I think our first theme show was for Halloween because we had done a couple skits. Like we had done.
I'm pretty sure Halloween was the first. Yeah.
Well, it was the first themed show, but I know that we had done a couple of individual skits here and there. Like at some point, mm-hmm. we did Little Billy getting Windows 10 for Christmas and or Windows. What am I saying? Windows 7 for Christmas and being like really unhappy about it.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yep.
And then we did. I can't remember. Why did I do the happy birthday thing where I recorded?
I was trying to remember.
I recorded the family.
Happy birthday for the iPhone or something.
Something.
Happy birthday OS 10.
I think it was Mac OS 10.
Probably happy birthday some product.
Yeah, it was, as a matter of fact. I think it was Mac OS 10. You know what? As a matter of fact, I will include that here, assuming I can actually find it.
The recording of the birthday song. To this day, that's your ringtone on my iPhone.
Somewhere in between your welcome and my apologies. And especially, maybe your welcome to you and my apologies to everyone around you.
Understandable. I do get looks when it sounds like a drunk family start singing happy birthday in my pocket.
But then the reality is that doing the skits, they became such a thing in and of themselves that they were too time consuming. So we shifted to a recording every show, just recording it live, no edits, unless we really, really, really had to.
Yeah, no edits.
And you never had to.
Occasionally.
Because you're stone cold professional.
No, this is not true. You apparently have not listened to the show since you left.
Yeah, Ricky, I only found out last week that every time Brian is doing the rewinding tape sound, he wasn't actually editing the show. So all the things that he said that he didn't want anyone to hear, they all went out on the show.
Yeah, yeah, apparently. Apparently, that's how that works.
Well, now I know.
So anyway, so now here we are. Jeff is moving on. Have you announced where you're moving on to, Jeff?
No.
Are you announcing that now, or is that going to be a secret?
No, I'll build up a little more surprise.
A little more surprise. All right. So Jeff is moving on to another opportunity, and I am saddened beyond explanation, beyond my ability to express to see him go. But we did want to have a nice big to-do to close out his portion of ACM with.
And I'm sad that I'm going, but I'm also excited because what's coming next is going to be a lot of fun. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, that's good.
And
And I'm going to have a lot of fun too without you. So there. I'm gonna have fun. I'm gonna have fun.
Oh, I know. Yeah, you just go have fun, Brian.
I'm gonna have fun. You're not the only one who's gonna be having fun. I'm gonna be having fun too.
Yeah, you go have fun with the show that you told me you're canceling, and then you're not.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes that's the way things work. But we are very happy that Ricky could join us and say goodbye. It seems like a really, really fitting way to close out. What's that?
A what?
Now!
Oh, my God. What have we done?
Shut up, both of you. Look, you've struck a blow for freedom. That's what you've done. The way they have treated you over the years, this is the least they deserve. Now you grab their feet. They're going down below. Let's go.
I've got Brian.
No, you get Jeff. I've got Brian.
Stop it. You two are so weird. Ainsley, you get Jeff. I'll help Sierra with Brian. This dude has not gotten smaller since he started this show.
Where are we taking them anyway?
And can we go trick-or-treating afterwards?
What? Yes. Yes, of course you can. What the heck is wrong with you two? Look, you're adults. You can do whatever you want to. Well, it looks like we've tied up all the loose ends. That's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write Brian and Jeff at acm@macobserver.com. Or you can say your goodbyes over at facebook.com/group/context machine. This content, and I want to stress this, was written by the folks at the Mac Observer. Their bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded for TMO. That's all for this version of the show. But stay subscribed. The show continues with Brian and a new format. Mac Pros and Cheetos. Yep, back in TMO Towers.